coming to you now is Bread of His Presence with your host, Pastor Cameron Urie, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Well, greetings and welcome back to Bread of His Presence. Last week, you'll remember how we started to look at the Shema, a creed that Jews have said religiously, both morning and evening, for thousands of years. The Shema is comprised of three key sections of Scripture that are recited daily by all observant Jews in order to remind them of their covenant with God, to be faithful to Him, to remain holy and set apart to Him. And these Scriptures are Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, Deuteronomy 11, 13 to 21, and Numbers 15, 37 to 41. But let's start with the very first word of the Shema in Deuteronomy 6, which is what? Shema. The first line of the Shema opens with a call to Shema, to hear. Here's a breakdown of how that very first line is translated. Shema, hear, Israel. Adonai, the Lord, Eloheinu, our God. Adonai, the Lord, Achad, meaning one or alone. Now the word Shema, which we most often translate as hear, has a much, much deeper and richer meaning in Hebrew. It's more akin to our word listen, in that a lot of times it's not just about what happens in your eardrum, it's also about what happens in your hands and your feet. It incorporates the idea of taking heed or responding with action. You know, Louis Tverberg once told a story saying, "I discovered the wideness of the word Shema in my very first Hebrew class. One classmate had a smattering of Hebrew knowledge that he had gleaned from other places, and he let us all know about it. He'd come late, he'd leave early, and he would absolutely just goof around in class. And the teacher would pose a question to someone else, and he'd blurt out the answer before they could respond. And annoyed, one classmate pointedly inquired, 'How do you tell someone to obey?' 'Shema,' responded the instructor. And later that afternoon," writes Tverberg, "curiosity prodded me to search for verses that contained obey in my computer program. In almost every case, the Hebrew behind obey was Shema. For instance, in English, we read Deuteronomy 11:13 as, 'So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today.' Literally, though, it reads, 'And it will be if hearing you will hear.' And after Moses recited the covenant to the people of Israel, remember they responded, 'We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey.' But the Hebrew here actually reads, 'All that God had said, we will do and we will hear.' You see, the two verbs here are really synonymous. To hear is to do, to be obedient. You know, just recently I was doing a gospel magic presentation for three separate groups at an Awana's program. And it was so much fun. I love doing gospel magic, and I love doing it for kids. But it was a little bit weird because I got to dip into something that at one time had been such a major part of my life. You know, back when I was in college and a lot more into that world, I remember I ordered two neodymium magnets, and I intended to use these for various illusions where I wanted to make things move, apparently by themselves, and or secretly pick up things that had pieces of metal in them without the spectator's knowledge. And so I ordered these two magnets, and each of them was powerful enough to pick up a car engine. Crazy, crazy powerful. And I remember they had to ship them to me in a metal container that would keep the magnetic field contained so as not to affect anything in their immediate environment while being shipped. And once they came, you had to be very careful because they weren't electromagnets. You couldn't just turn them off. and so you had to be careful to keep them away from anything electronic that they could harm. You know, TVs, computers, people with pacemakers, that kind of thing. And I remember that it was a lot of fun for us guys on the hall, and this sounds like college guys. We would take these two magnets and we would very carefully put them together. And you had to be super careful because you didn't want to pinch yourself between these two magnets. But once we got them together, it was kind of fun to see, hey, what guy is strong enough to pull them apart? And it was a lot of fun. And sometimes we were successful, sometimes we weren't. But I remember that one day I went into one of my friend's rooms. And he had this nice, what was then considered big, flat screen TV. And he said, you know, Cameron, I want to see the magnets. And I said, sure, but be very careful not to get them near your TV. Now, he told me later that he thought I was kidding. I don't know why he thought that, but he must have, because the moment I placed those two magnets that were joined in his hand, so think of it, double the power, he thrust his hand right in front of his TV, and his whole screen just went woomph, filling with all kinds of beautiful rainbow colors. Just not the kind of colors you ever want to see on a TV. And he was very less than thrilled, but thankfully his TV corrected after a week or so. But what happened in that dorm room is a very good example of the difference between hearing and obeying. In Hebrew, those two ideas are inseparably linked. And understanding that really sheds a light on many passages of the Bible that otherwise would seem a little bit more obscure or might even get misinterpreted at times. For instance, David cries out to God, O Lord, please hear my prayer. Now, if we don't understand what Shema means, then we might see this prayer as David accusing God of being deaf to him or disinterested in him. But that's not true. He knows that God hears him audibly. What he wants and is calling God to do is to take action. When the angel of the Lord appears to Zechariah to announce that his wife Elizabeth would conceive and give birth to John, note how it says in Luke 1:13, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call his name John. You see, God had heard his prayers and his wife Elizabeth's prayers as they were longing for and praying for a child. Now, they no doubt gave up praying for a child after Elizabeth passed the age of childbearing. But now they discover that God was going to Shema. He had, in fact, not only heard them audibly, but was going to move on their behalf in a way that far surpassed anything they could have ever hoped or dreamed for. Now, what does this all mean for us? Well, we see that first and foremost, right from the very first word, the Shema is at base a call for obedience. In and throughout Scripture, God often uses the word Shema to call his people to obey him, to trust him, and to follow in his ways. An excellent example of this is seen in Psalm 81, which says, Hear, O my people, and I will testify against you. O Israel, if you would listen to me. Hear, listen, Shema, Shema. Verse 11, But my people did not Shema to my voice, and Israel was not willing to Shema me. So I released them over to the stubbornness of their heart, that they would walk in their own devices. Oh, that my people would Shema to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would quickly subdue their enemies, and I would turn my hand against their adversaries. Those who hate Yahweh would cower before him, and their time of punishment would be forever. but I would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you." Now, understanding the true meaning of Shema also sheds light on why Jesus often concluded his teaching with the words, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear," like in Mark 4:9. He had just given this teaching, this sermon, and now he was saying, "Take what I just said to heart and go out and apply it to your life. Obey it." You know, many years ago now, a very popular action movie came out called The Matrix. And in this movie, there was a teacher figure named Morpheus who was helping a man named Neo to discover his special, powerful abilities. Abilities that would help save the human race from slavery, mental bondage to a computer-generated dream world called The Matrix. Neo had been freed from that world, but was still having difficulties believing that he was this great messianic figure that the human race had been waiting and longing for. But Morpheus tells him, there's a difference between knowing the path and walking the path. And then later he says, "I can only show you the door. You're the one that has to walk through it." That's Shema in a nutshell. Knowing the path and walking the path. Now, Jesus is saying about having ears to hear in Mark 4:9, it immediately follows his parable of the sower, which you'll remember finds this farmer spreading seed on all different kinds of soil. Well, do you remember what the single most important characteristic of the good soil was? The soil that had the seed that came up, grew, produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times? He says, but those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. You see, believing rightly in Jesus is not enough. Jesus very clearly says in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." Now, what I want to close with today is this. Jesus didn't just command this of other people. He also practiced what he preached. And he did so in the deepest and most profound way. Paul, in writing to the Philippians, said in Philippians 2:5 through 11, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And so let us also be encouraged to walk in the same way that Jesus did, in obedience, in Shema before God. Let's do so. Amen.
Today's episode of Bread of His Presence is brought to you by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel or would like to subscribe to the Bread of His Presence podcast, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or breadofhispresence.org. You can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.